Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha.
Chapter 42 of the Shobo Genzo, page 37, speaks of the subject of cat door, tangled wisteria. And it's usually used as a derogatory word to mean complicated teachings or wordy teachings of Zen. Therefore, it is a synonym for illusion. And sometimes almost a synonym for delusion. However, in this chapter, Dogen urges us to use katto to cut off katto. This is a dangerous way of using words, but also it teaches us how to take a word from its derogatory meaning and turn it to spiritual advantage. And behind the meaning of this lies the reason for giving double-edged names to monks. I gave the example last time of the name Maedor, which in its derogatory term means the underworld, or one of the underworld, and in its pure meaning means the hall of beauty wherein dwells the cosmic Buddha. So when you hear the term katto, the use of katto to cut off katto, remember that the former meaning does not stand against the latter meaning. You are using illusion to cut off illusion. This is the first understanding of it. We have past life experience and various other things. And we use this experience to cut off the illusory world, to end our problems with the illusory world. We use illusion to cut off illusion. It does not matter that what we may or may not see, hear, know, smell, touch, etc., when we experience past life, happenings, as I was speaking of in my last lecture, does not matter whether these things actually happened as the picture seems to show it or not. It does not matter at all. What matters is we understand the message that these things are trying to show us so that we can cut off the illusion of being cut off from the cosmic Buddha. We use illusion to cut off illusion. We use dream to cut off dream and thus to find reality. But just as in the case of the wisteria, katto symbolizes the relationship between Buddha and Buddha. For a wisteria is inextricably mixed, and its roots are inextricably bound together, and its branches, or so felt Dogen. And therefore the term katto symbolizes the relationship between Buddha and Buddha in the sense in which they are bound together inextricably in the Dharma transmission. It is a brilliant concept of how to see the all is one and all is different without separating them off as two different things. Just as all the branches of a wisteria are one, yet they are seeable separately, so is the relationship between Buddha and Buddha. And in its coarser form, so is the relationship of past life experience from one monk to another. We see how inextricably mixed we all are. When one person truly opens the treasure house, hundreds of people see their interrelatedness throughout past lives. It does not matter whether these things happened exactly as they appear to see it, for they are using illusion to deal with illusion. What matters is that they see that which lies deeply within. They find in their differences their oneness, and their oneness in their differences. It was because Joshu, great master Joshu, explained this so succinctly that he, above all the great and ancient Zen masters, was exalted as one of the few who had truly made it to Buddhahood, above Rinzai and Toksan and all the other famous masters. And this chapter is based on his explanation of Kaptur. So, Dogen says, only Makakishore transmitted the iron treasury of the true law and the supreme enlightenment of Shakyamuni Buddha on Valja Peak. It was continually transmitted to the 28th patriarch Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma came to China as the first patriarch and transmitted the iron treasury of the true law and supreme enlightenment to the great teacher Shoshu Fukaku, known to us as Taizo Eka, who became the second patriarch. The 28th patriarch came to the East as the first patriarch of China, and the 29th patriarch is the second Chinese patriarch. We should understand this, which is the Chinese method of reckoning. It's very important to know who is being referred to in Chinese counting and in Indian and in our own. The first patriarch practiced under Prajnatara, from whom he learned the Buddhist teaching and essence of the way, and received the transmission. He inherited the inner root of the Buddhist teaching and passed it on to his descendants. Prajnatara is the Indian name of the 27th patriarch in India. Now, generally, when a true seeker of the way, here translated as saint, when such people study in order to cut off the root of their spiritual entanglements, they do not use their entanglements to cut off the entanglements. Here, Dogen is referring to the past life connections that we have one with another. It is important that we use these connections to deal with these connections. Thus, all are driven into enlightenment. It is important, therefore, to do what we can to help those who, it would appear, have been involved with us in past lives. This is a very important point. If they do not wish to be converted or are unwilling to be converted, there is nothing we can do about it. But we should try to make the offer. For it is the willingness to make the offer, the willingness to make the attempt, that teaches us at a later date how the vines of the wistaria intermingle in the one great vine of the Buddha nature. How each vine is a Buddha, and how the whole vine is the Buddha nature. So we learn in the course way how to get closer and truer, and how eventually to transcend all of this and be one, whilst at the same time different. And how to understand all teaching from that level. Dogen says he wonders if people know how to use entanglements to transmit true entanglement. He knows of very few people who does. Because if you do not know how to deal with the coarse ones, you will not realize that there is no disentanglement. What looked like an entanglement, when converted, ceases to be entanglement and becomes true life. Joshu and perhaps one or two others understood this completely, as did Dogen. And as he says, do people know how to use entanglements to transmit the true entanglement? It is rare to find anyone who knows that entanglements cannot be separated from the transmission of the Dharma. Few have experienced this or even heard of it. How is it possible for many people to experience it if it is not fully explained? My late master, an ancient Buddha, said, a gourd is really a type of wistaria. Its tangles make it a gourd. It is doubtful if the monks understood what Dogen was speaking of here, or rather what Nyorjor was speaking of here, forgive me. It is not always wise to use symbols to try to explain things. But without symbols, how can we do these explanations? To liken the cosmic Buddha, that which is, the unborn, the undying, the uncreated, the unchanging, to a gourd, and to all of us as its vines, is fine so long as there are people who do not go away and say that the cosmic Buddha is a gourd. One has to listen to all of this more advanced Dogen with very, very great care and not with the discriminatory mind. One has to listen with one's guts and not with one's head. As Dogen says, such a teaching cannot be found anywhere else in the past or present. My late master was the first to reveal such teaching. I think he meant in recent years, because Joshu most certainly did it earlier on. The gourds' intertwined vines are like Buddhas and patriarchs, seeking out Buddhas and patriarchs. Or Buddhas and patriarchs facing Buddhism patriarchs. I don't like the word confronting translated here. The word in Japanese actually means they see each other. And I think the translator took the first word out of his dictionary, which implies a not too friendly meeting. Buddhism patriarchs facing Buddhism patriarchs comes out much better. And, of course, it is explained clearly in the next sentence, which says, it is mind-to-mind transmission, or Buddha nature meeting Buddha nature. The 28th patriarch said to his disciples, the time has come for you to tell me what you have attained. Now we are going into a different use of the term kato now. We are leaving the previous one for a moment, but you will see that it is not really different. The disciple Dorfu said, this is my viewpoint. Neither be attached nor not attached to words or letters. Utilize that condition freely. Bodhidharma said, you possess my skin. Then the female trainee, Soji, said, this is my present understanding. After Ananda saw the Buddha land of Akshobhaya once, he never looked at it again. Bodhidharma said, you possess my flesh. The third disciple, Doiku, said, the four elements are empty and the five skandhas are non-existent. In my view, there is not one thing to be gained. The patriarch said, you possess my bones. Finally, Taiso Eka made three prostrations without speaking and returned to his seat. Bodhidharma said, you possess my marrow. Then Bodhidharma transmitted his Dharma robe to Eka, designating him the second patriarch. This story has been used on many occasions to justify the saying that there are many depths of Zen. There are depths of Zen, but this is not the story that justifies it. If you have been truly transmitted, you know that the Buddha nature exists within your skin. It exists within your flesh. It exists within your bones. And it exists within your marrow. Skin is not more important than bones. Flesh is not more important than marrow. The Buddha is in all things. I am not God, and there is nothing in me that is not of God. Therefore, if you think that the disciple who got the skin is less than the disciple that got the marrow, you do not understand the transmission at all. And Dogen goes on to complain about people who teach in this way. Because if there had been more than the four disciples, if there had been seven or eight or nine of them, what would he have done then? He would have had to have said, you have my belly, you have my nose, you have my hands. We are not speaking here of something that goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And this points out the danger of those who teach and how important it is not to take something that looks too sequential, because you know that your disciples are going to take it at its lowest common denominator and immediately imagine that the last one, or the one that seems to have the deepest in our opinions, is the one that knows most. In this particular instance, it happened to work that way, but that was not what was trying to be taught. And only Joshu makes this extraordinarily clear. As Dogen says, we must study the first patriarch's words, "You possess my skin, flesh, bones, and marrow," for these are the words of a patriarch. And a patriarch, you must understand, is one who knows that the Buddha nature exists in his skin and in his fingernails and in the seat on which he sits, and does not distinguish between them. But they do look different, as do the vines of a wisteria. That is what makes the difference between a monk and a patriarch, one who knows that it is in all things. But there is something else here that is very important. Each of the disciples gave a different answer as to his understanding. And to each of those disciples, the 28th patriarch said, "You possess a different thing." But each of those things possessed the Buddha nature. So each understanding was correct. But they were all different. One should not say that one's understanding is good and another understanding's is worse or better. Enlightenment is enlightenment. It is not something that is attained piecemeal. I can remember Khonho Zenji hammering that into my skull. One does not obtain these things in bits and pieces. You get the whole lot with the skin, you get the whole lot with the marrow. Do not suffer from the idea that tiny and big are different things. They are only different in size. One of the reasons that Zen is so difficult for some people to study is because they do not use words precisely. And therefore they hear what they probably think one said instead of hearing what one did say. It's one of the reasons why messages get so garbled in this temple now and then. One should listen to the precise words and know their meanings. So these are the words of a patriarch, one who knows that all things possess the Buddha nature. And each of these disciples had an understanding, as did each of the pieces of the master. And they were all the same understanding, but they were all different answers. And if one stays still in that place where there is the unborn, the undying, the uncreated, and the unchanging, if one stays still in that place, then no matter what the answers are, those answers will be right. It is important to remember this. Each disciple had a certain understanding and possessed some good points, says Dogen. Each of those points are the skin, flesh, bones, and marrow of the liberated body and spirit, or Buddha nature. That is, the skin, flesh, bones, and marrow of the body and mind, of the body and Buddha nature that has dropped off. That is the true essence of Buddha, the skin, flesh, bones, and marrow of the true essence. We should not listen to or study any patriarch's words with a superficial understanding or discrimination. The patriarch's words are not this or that, trying to describe the whole. Nevertheless, those who lack the right transmission think that there is a difference between the levels of understanding of the four disciples and that there is a distinction in the first patriarch's skin, flesh, bones, and marrow. They think that the first patriarch's skin and flesh is farther away than his bones and marrow. Also, they believe that the second patriarch was given the marrow because his understanding was the best. If we say such things, we have not studied the Buddhas and patriarchs, nor received the right transmission, and we are not doing true training. Dogen was quite rough upon this point. We should know that the patriarch's skin, flesh, bones, and marrow have nothing to do with their relative depth. Even if there happens to be a difference in understanding, what the patriarch said was, you possess my this or that. This means that the teaching is in both, you possess my marrow and you possess my bones, can be used to instruct and lead people. What each disciple said was of use, and therefore it had the essence of Buddha. There is no thought of sufficiency or insufficiency. They are like the holding up of the flower of Markakashore, or the transmission of the robe to Dai Kaninor. They are both the same thing, with different appearances for the situation. The Buddha shows himself at the right time for the situation given, in the way that can be understood at that time. What the first patriarch said was the same from the very beginning. Although what the patriarch said was equal, the four interpretations are not necessarily equal. The four disciples' interpretations may differ, but the words of the patriarch are still the words of a patriarch who knows that all of the four things, although different, possess the Buddha nature. It does not necessarily mean that the four interpretations of the disciples are equal. Do not confuse these two. Often the speaker's intention and the listener's understanding do not coincide. This is why all of these answers and interpretations are not equal. For example, when Bodhidharma spoke to his four disciples, he meant, you possess me through your skin or through your Buddha nature. For he is using skin here, since he knows what his skin truly is, since he knows his transcended skin, flesh, bones, and marrow, since he knows that these are the Buddha nature. What he is saying to them is, you possess me through your skin, in quotes. You possess me through your Buddha nature. If the second patriarch has hundreds of thousands of disciples, there will also be hundreds of thousands of interpretations. One must know that there is no limit. In the present case, there are only four disciples, and therefore we tentatively have the four aspects of skin, flesh, bones, and marrow. If there had been someone else mentioned, there would have been yet another different interpretation. When we speak to the second patriarch, we must be able to understand the meaning of, you possess my skin. Even if there is, you possess my skin, there still must be a transmission of the iron treasury of the true law of the second patriarch, independent of possessing the skin, flesh, bones, and marrow. There must still be a meeting of Buddha nature with Buddha nature, and a recognition of the oneness of that Buddha nature. Do not get stuck with the skin, flesh, bones, and marrow any more than you get stuck with the flower, as Kazan mourns in the Dengoraku. Do not get stuck with the flower. Do not get stuck with the smile. Do not get stuck with the robe. Don't get stuck with things. Know what is being pointed to, and know within your skin, flesh, bones, and marrow what that is. In the case of Dorfu, Doiku, and Soji, we must understand the meaning of you possess my marrow. Even if we possess just the skin, we still must possess the Dharma. The body and mind of Bodhidharma is his skin, flesh, bones, and marrow. But remember, it is not his marrow. It is not that his marrow is deep, or that his skin is superficial. This cannot be hammered in enough. If we are able to open the eye of study and receive the seal of "You possess my skin," we will have found the correct way to possess Bodhidharma. It is his entire skin, flesh, bones and marrow, body and Buddha nature. Body and body, Buddha nature and Buddha nature. He is a patriarch who is completely a patriarch. He is saying, "You possess the whole of me." And therefore the whole of the Buddha nature, the whole of the cosmic Buddha, and the whole of the universe. For this statement can help others. When the patriarch appears and speaks to hundreds of thousands of disciples, he will say, "You possess my skin." Every one of the disciples will probably make a distinction between the skin, flesh, bones, and marrow. If Bodhidharma had 6 or 7 disciples studying under him, he would have said, "You possess my heart, you possess my body, you possess my Buddha," etc. "You" sometimes means Bodhidharma, sometimes Ekā. We must study in detail the principle of possession, or to possess. A much better interpretation of the word would be, "You are one with." You and I are one. We must also be aware of the expression, "You possess me, I possess you, possessing me and you, possessing you and me," which comes out again as, "You are one with." If we look into the body and mind of the patriarch, if we look into the body and Buddha nature of the patriarch, and say his interior and exterior are not one, and there is no unity in the entire body, we are not actualizing the land of the Buddhas and patriarchs. For the Buddha nature must permeate every single organ, every single tissue of that body. We cannot separate Buddha nature from body. Nor should we attempt to try. The old Gautama becomes the transcended Shakyamuni. The old Bodhidharma becomes the transcended Bodhidharma, the patriarch. And he does that by knowing the true essence of himself, which is the true essence of skin, flesh, bones, and marrow. And because that essence existed in all of the 4 interpretations of the disciples, they should know this. If we possess the skin, it means we possess the flesh, bones, and marrow also. If we possess the bones and marrow, it means we possess the original face of the skin and flesh. That is, we are one with the cosmic Buddha. The body of the entire universe is not only Bodhidharma's body. It is his skin, flesh, bones, and marrow. There is no difference in its essence and in their essence. Therefore, we can say, "You possess my robe and you possess my truth." Further, the words of both Bodhidharma and his disciples transcend universals and particulars. Consequently, master and disciple learn together. There is no superior and no inferior. But there will always be a Buddha senior to you, and one junior to you as long as existence. And bowing last. This mutual study, existence, by the way, I mentioned but now, as human existence, as long as you understand you as you are now. This mutual study and seeking of the way between master and disciple is kaptō, the twining of the vines, which are all one vine. All are different, all go in different directions, but they are all one vine, the kaptō. The spiritual and physical entwinement of the Buddhas and patriarchs. This forms the life of the Buddhas and patriarchs. Their skin, flesh, bones, and marrow form the smile of Makakashore. And the morning star of Shakyamuni. We must study further that the seed of this entwinement has the ability to liberate us. The essence of this entwinement, its seed, which produces its essence. It has branches, leaves, flowers, and fruit that wind together to form the plant. They are mutually bound to each other, although they seem independent. Here Buddhas and patriarchs are actualized, and here real form emerges. Great Master Joshu Shinzai said to an assembly of monks, Makakashore transmitted the truth to Ananda. To whom did Bodhidharma transmit the truth? A monk said, everyone knows that the second patriarch possessed the marrow of Bodhidharma's teaching. Why do you ask such a question? The master said, don't slander the second patriarch like that. Then he said, Bodhidharma stated that those on the outside get the skin and those on the inside get the bones. What do those who are in the innermost part get? The monk asked, what is the principle of attaining the marrow then? The master said, you possess only the skin and this old monk does not depend on the marrow. The monk asked, what is this marrow? The master replied, if you ask a question like that, you won't even be able to get the skin. I don't need to explain that. Therefore, we should see that if we are not able to get the skin, we cannot get the marrow. If we can get the skin, we can get the marrow. If we've got the skin, we've already got the marrow. We must clarify the principle of, if you talk like that, you cannot even get the skin. In reply to the question, what is the principle of attaining the marrow? The master said, you possess only the skin, and this old monk, meaning himself, does not depend on the marrow. Where we find the skin and do not depend on the marrow is the principle behind attaining the marrow. Therefore, we have a question like, everyone knows that the second patriarch possessed the marrow of Bodhidharma's teaching. Why do you ask such a question? When we look at Makakashore's transmission to Ananda, we see that Ananda's entire body was absorbed by Makakashore. They became one in the truth, in the Dharma, in the Buddha nature. However, at the time of transmission, the face, eyes, skin, flesh, bones, and marrow cannot avoid being changed somewhat. And those who are truly transmitted, in those who are truly transmitted, even in this temple, you can see a difference if you look with eyes that are truly looking. Hence, Joshu asked, to whom did Bodhidharma transmit the Dharma? When Bodhidharma decided to transmit the truth, he was already the real Bodhidharma, the patriarch. He was not the old Bodhidharma in the sense of the old Gotama, but in the sense of Shakyamuni Buddha. And when the second patriarch possessed the marrow, he had already become Bodhidharma, and Makakashore, and Ananda, and Shakyamuni. This is the principle behind the intact transmission of the Buddhist law up to the present age.
If such a principle had not been present, the Buddhist Dharma could not have been transmitted. We should study this principle carefully, comprehend it for ourselves, and then teach it to others. Those on the outside get the skin, those on the inside get the bones. What do those who are in the innermost part get? Here, outside and inside directly indicate the same essence. When we say outside, it means the skin, flesh, bones, and marrow are outside. When we say inside, it means the skin, flesh, bones, and marrow are inside. Do not distinguish between in and out. Don't get opposites in the way. Don't make clouds in a clear sky. Don't make wordy Zen. Don't make Kato. When you discuss this stuff. Therefore, this is why the four disciples of Bodhidharma studied the development of myriad kinds of skin, millions of kinds of skin, flesh, bones, and marrow. Do not think that there is no other development outside of the marrow. Other developments exist. The ancient Buddha Joshu's address to the monks is the real and true Buddhist way. Others such as Rinzai, Toksan, Daiye, Amon, and others cannot and do not pass him in their time. On the contrary, they cannot even dream of his level. How can they begin to talk about it? This is one of the few occasions where Dogen openly speaks of the levels of understanding of various Zen masters. Elders of the present age who lack understanding of the Dharma also know nothing about this, and if they hear such talk, they will be totally surprised, for they think of going deeper and deeper and deeper. And there were those who I met in the Far East who believed the same thing. And in one sense, what one learns as one grows older appears to be deeper. But the essence is the essence. Just as the life of the wistaria is the life of the wistaria, although some of the vines seem to be older and more gnarled than others. And so we say this is an old branch or this is a new branch. And we presume that the young cannot understand what the old has. They've both got it. It is just a difference. Zen Master Secho Myokaku said, Joshu and Bakushu are both ancient Buddhas. Therefore, the way of ancient Buddhas is the experience of enlightenment in the Buddhist Dharma, and the understanding and realization and knowledge of and feeling of one's own true essence, flowing through one's bones and flesh and marrow and skin. Great Master Seppo Shinkaku said, Joshu is an ancient Buddha. The difference between a Buddha and patriarch and those who think they have understanding is that a Buddha and a patriarch understands and knows for himself or herself what Joshu has described here and does not differentiate. I will talk to the seniors about this at a later date if they so wish. Both of these Buddhist patriarchs praised the ancient Buddha Joshu. Now we know that ancient patriarchs transcend the development of past and present. Do not be stuck with young and old. Do not be stuck with new. Or ancient. Don't be stuck with any of these things. the principle of mutual entwinement of skin, flesh, bones, and marrow is the standard of ancient Buddha's use of the expression, you possess me, you are one with me. And you should recognize that it is a mutual entwinement, no one being greater than the other. Thus the new disciple stands upon the master's head, and the master stands beneath the disciple's feet. But one is not greater than the other, and one does not pull down the other. And one does not wait for the other to die, and one does not envy the youth of the other. There is only a mutual entwinement. We must study and clarify this standard.
The first patriarch returned to the West is a mistaken interpretation. According to Soren, he met Bodhidharma on the way back to India. But how can that be true, since he had never really left India? If we understand that in the code, India is the place, if such a term can be used, as a place wherein there is the unborn, the undying, the uncreated, and the unchanging. How could he see Bodhidharma's actions? It is correct to say that after he entered Parinirvana, Bodhidharma's ashes were interred on Mount Uji in China. And there, too, is India, if you understand the Buddha nature. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage.